Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
Bump and I are live from Seahawks headquarters in Renton. We got the huddle, a Wednesday edition of the huddle coming your way in 2 hours. Dave Wyman's going to join us for a 2-hour preview of Seahawks Raiders in week 12. We're going to get to a ton of Apple Cup stuff before then. We've got like three different segments. Four Down Territory is Apple Cup edition. We've got a very special guest, Drew Bledsoe, going to join us for Washington Wednesday at 11 a.m. We've also got Bump's preview at 10:45. So basically from 10:45 to almost the end of the show, we have a ton of Apple Cup stuff coming your way. So Cougs, Huskies, stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We are going to start with some Seahawks stuff. Before then, you know, Bump, it is Thanksgiving tomorrow. And I just have to say, you know, I'm so thankful to be working with you. And that is something I'm thankful for this year.
Thank you, Stacy.
Is there anything you want to say?
You know how this makes me feel right now. That's why you're doing this to me. All right, I was vulnerable to you. I was open.
Bump can't handle sincerity in any way.
Stacy, I am thankful for working with the greatest Husky that I know.
Thanks. It feels like a weird compliment. I don't know how many great Huskies you know. What if I'm the only one?
I mean, Brock's a great one.
You're right. Okay, sure. Oh, broccoli. Mora is on the board for Curtis Rogers. And Mora, I am thankful and grateful that you are here with us to share some of your fantasy football knowledge, which may come in handy in a couple minutes when I do a little mini Thursday preview. So shout out to Mora Dooley on the board today, by the way.
Thank you,
Mora,
guys.
Is there anything you want to say about me as well? Or
Stacy is beautiful and kind, okay. And one of the things I'm thankful for this Thanksgiving. Keep going.
Yeah. No. That's okay. We were talking about the other day during Four Down Territory. We were talking about Davante Adams, and you said something that was really interesting because it was true, which is he has a quiet 10 touchdowns.
Quiet.
Imagine having a quiet 10 touchdowns. He is second in the league in total touchdowns, and I would never think the Raiders at 3 wins have one of the league's best receivers right now. I know on paper they do, and that Davante Adams has the track record of being the best receiver in the league. You wouldn't think that they'd tapped into how to use him, and yet here he is with 10 touchdowns, 925 yards. So what we're going to do as part of our kind of mini preview here is just some sneaky truths for Sunday's week 12 matchup, some sneaky truths about the matchup. Do you want to start with Adams and elaborate a bit more before we go on to some Seahawks?
Yeah, let's do it, man. Davante Adams is one of the, if not the best receiver in the league. He's quietly had 6 games over 100 yards.
Insane.
He has 2 games over 140 yards. He has 3 games over 140 yards, 5 games over 120. Like, this guy has been doing, he has 3 multi-score games, 2 touchdowns against the Broncos, 2 against Jacksonville, 2 against the Kansas City Chiefs. The reason why he's not getting his flowers, his love, is because his team just isn't winning.
Mm-hmm.
And we're used to attaching Davante Adams' stellar play to great quarterback play, which equates to a winning record and you get into the playoffs. So it's weird that we haven't been giving him his love. Honestly, it's weird that I haven't, because I'm a receiver and I look at these receiver stats all the time. And for some reason, I just gloss
right
over.
We've had so many other teams to talk about, though. I mean, we've talked about, you know, like, you look at like the pass game that's happening with Buffalo. You look at the pass game that's happening with Tua in Miami. Like, there are so many other receivers that are kind of capturing our attention nationally that you forget that just down south, a couple states. You got one there.
And it's a great story, right? He teams up with his college quarterback. They bought homes right next to each other. Everything's supposed to be kumbaya over there. But then the Raiders have suffered a bunch of injuries. They're not producing the way we thought they would. And let's not ignore that they play in a tough division, too. I know the Broncos aren't very good, but you still got to compete against one of the best defenses in the league in the Broncos. You have Justin Herbert and guys who can throw the football around. And then you got the Chiefs as well. So it's not easy out there in the desert. And Davante Adams has not fell off. You know, I thought maybe going to Derek Carr that his numbers would drop a little bit. He's still going to go for over 1,000 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to have 14 touchdowns. That's another Pro Bowl year for Davante Adams.
We also have some Seahawks that we wanted to get to. And this isn't like, we know, we've been talking about Geno Smith every single week. Geno Smith isn't quietly performing well. He is very much in your face, proving you wrong, right? Let's talk about some guys who are quietly having some great seasons, because this is sneaky truth for Sunday's Week 12 matchup. If one sneaky truth for the matchup is going to be that Davante Adams can and probably will burn you once or twice, that's a sneaky truth for this Sunday. Be prepared for it.
Is it sneaky? Man, that might even be sneaky. Yeah, like, we know that's going to go down.
I know. Well, so just sidebar, I was listening to the Locked On Raiders podcast, and the host was saying that that wide open touchdown that Davante Adams had, the walk-off touchdown in OT against the Broncos, he was like, this guy's had like two or three of those touchdowns where there's nobody around him. And you just think, how? How did Davante Adams do this? One, he's one of the league's best receivers and they just find a way. And two, I think it's just maybe you underestimate the Raiders. Maybe they've just, maybe he exploits seams and cover. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
There may be one of those against Seattle is all I'm saying.
In the red zone, he's a killer. He's a killer in the red zone. And with that last play against Surtain, I believe, is who was guarding him. And at the end of the play, Devontae goes, he's too young. He can't guard me. What happens is Devontae starts to run a deep cross and Surtain just jumps in front of him. Devontae gives him a little shake and goes the complete other direction. It was a great design and he just took advantage of a corner being aggressive.
All right. You have some sneaky truths for Sunday's matchup that are going to benefit the Seahawks. What do you got?
Can we give Tyler Lockett some love?
Yeah.
Like, we've talked about people saying, oh, well, he goes down and he doesn't want to take the big hit. Yeah, he don't want to take the big hit. 30 years old, a buck 80, not the biggest guy out there. I understand when it's time to get a first down, you get a first down. But this dude is having a season. He has 640 yards, 54 receptions, and 5 touchdowns. He's accounted for 8 big plays. Sneakily having a good season. Like, he might go for 1,000 yards again, this Tyler Lockett. And he's the guy who will have 8 targets, 7 receptions, but for 60 yards, but 2 of those catches were on a 3rd and 8, you're driving to win the game. Right? Those are the type of catches that a Tyler Lockett has that people just kind of take for granted at this point because we've seen him do it year in and year out. This is just what he does. Well, last year he had 1,000 yards. So if he goes for 1,000 yards again this year, that's 4 consecutive seasons with 1,000 yards. I think Steve Largent might be the only one to do it 3 times in a row. If he does it 4 times in a row, Tyler Lockett is putting himself in company of the Seahawk greats, which he's already there. He's already a Seahawk great.
Yes.
But, yeah, man, I think Tyler Lockett is not getting enough love. Y'all talk about him preserving his body. Talk about him coming through clutch. Another good season so far for this dude.
Well, we talk about him preserving his body, and also it's very easy for DK Metcalf to literally and figuratively overshadow people,
right?
And so what happens is DK gets paid. He gets talked about all offseason. He's this big character,
right?
And he's also like a monster on the field. Like, this guy can ball out, and so it's very easy to pay a lot of attention to DK when he makes these miraculous plays and overlook Tyler Lockett when he saves you on 3rd and 12. So I like that one. You've got someone on defense, too. Sneaky truths for Sunday's matchup.
Sneaky truth. Another guy who's putting together a season, who had to take on more responsibility this year, who has to get the defense organized. I'm talking about no other than our guy, Jordan Brooks. Again, he is 2nd in the league when it comes to tackles, 106. Now, a lot of the times you're getting tackles down the field, right, 5-8 yards down the field. I think when the season started, early in the season, the bulk of his tackles were down the field. But now that they've kind of let this defensive line fire these gaps and get on these guards, Jordan Brooks is able to play aggressively. And you talk to Jordan Brooks, we've spoken to him several times. He's not a guy who's going to have a lot to say, who is going to pump himself up. He's going to talk about his teammates. He's not going to blow the situation up with him having the green dot. You know, it's just like, all right, another thing for me to do. I'm a communicator. I got to get guys lined up. Like, his approach to the game, it's so even-keeled and inconsistent. Like, every time I talk to him, it's the same vibe. Win, loss in Germany, out here. So it's no surprise, because he's consistent every time that I see him, that he's consistent on the football field. Once again, he's going to be one of the league leaders when it comes to tackle. So a young man stepping up in a leadership role, having to get guys organized, but not letting that affect his play. Jordan Brooks, sneaky good season so far.
I like it. Shout out Maura for pointing out this one. A sneaky truth for Sunday's Week 12 matchup. How about the matchups the tight ends are going to have against the Raiders defense? The Raiders defense has really struggled. They struggled to stay healthy, but they've also struggled to not give up a ton of yardage and a ton of points. They rank kind of at the middle of the bottom third in the league defensively. Now, statistically, the Seahawks are still there in a couple categories, but we know that the Seahawks have improved. Likewise, the Raiders like what they did last week against the Broncos, and there's been a couple other weeks where you've seen them look a lot better, so keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Numbers don't tell the entire story, but the matchup that they're going to have against the Seahawks tight ends could be a good one. Seahawks tight ends are three of Pro Football Focus's top 25 tight end grades this year. So you already know that the Seahawks tight ends are performing really well this season. Did you also know that the Raiders defense is giving up the fourth most fantasy points to tight ends with six tight end touchdowns allowed?
Okay.
I'm already sensing like finding Will Dissly for the first touchdown of the game.
I like
Why not? Keep the tradition going. It would be like, what, the third time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to call the play out too.
Yeah,
so,
do it.
So we're going to be 13 personnel, no offense, wow, to the left. Dissly and Kobe Parkinson to the right. They like to motion over Kobe. I'm going to motion him over to the left. At the snap, Kobe's going to come back to the right side, and he's going to chip Disley's man. Instead of Dissly blocking that in, he's going to release up the seam. Play action to Ken Walker, down the seam, red zone touchdown, Uncle Will.
You know, as wild as I was going to say that,
I
was literally going to say the same thing,
yeah,
the exact same thing.
We're on the
like
same
this,
wavelength.
Like
I
this.
Got you. I got you.
Okay. So, Maura, you can help us out with this one if you want. I figured that for just a couple minutes here before we get to headline rewrites, I love Thanksgiving football. I don't know about you guys. I love that it is completely acceptable for an entire day. Like, you are participating in the holiday if you are sitting on your couch eating, watching football. Like, I feel so productive,
yeah,
and like I'm celebrating and being a good family member. So I found some prop bets. We're not going to talk about like betting per se, but we're going to use them to help preview these games for just a couple minutes here. So here we go. These are from Bet Online. Basically, all you two have to do is tell me whether or not you agree with this. So they have a couple Thanksgiving records that they believe could be broken. The best odds to be broken are the most receiving yards in a single game on Thanksgiving, 188.
That was Andre Johnson.
Yes, that was Andre Johnson. So they have for leaders, candidates, Justin Jefferson.
Of course.
Stephon Diggs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, and Gabe Davis.
Well, if it's going to get broken, it's going to be broken by Justin Jefferson.
1,000%.
He is the guy who is the most explosive. Diggs is explosive, but there's other weapons over there. You got Davis who helps him out. I think with Justin Jefferson, you got a tight end who's going to help out. Didn't they pick up Hockenson? Yeah, right. The Vikings picked up Hockenson for Detroit. But the focus in the pass game is that man, Justin Jefferson, one of the best receivers in the league. It can be broken. It can be broken, but 188 is tough. You don't get that every day.
I know. Maura, the Vikings are taking on the Pats for the night game on Thursday. Do you see Justin Jefferson having a huge day against Minnesota?
No. They won't be able to completely contain him because he's just too talented, but breaking that record, 188 yards, I don't see it. The Patriots defense has been playing pretty well. The thing is that Kirk Cousins is going to have to get the ball to him, and they've had 13 sacks in their last two games, and he got sacked 7 times last week. Yeah, I don't see him breaking that. My guess normally in these matchups would have been Stephon Diggs, but with Josh Allen's arm kind of giving him trouble, I'm not sure that I don't think anyone's going to break that record this weekend.
It's safe. Well, I agree.
Well, how about this one? Most passing yards in a single game on Thanksgiving. I don't think this one's being broken, but it does have the second best odds. Troy Aikman, 455. Keep in mind,
ooh,
Josh Allen is going to be taking on, like Maura just mentioned, taking on the Detroit Lions, who have given up some of the most yards.
They love it.
I don't see 455, but Josh Allen has surpassed 400 against Miami. He's surpassed 400 in like two losses or something like that. So he's certainly capable of it. Do you guys see it?
That's going to be a tough one to do. Now, in a perfect Turkey Day football world, Dak Prescott would do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have another Dallas Cowboy going against a division rival with the New York Giants. But no, man, 455 is tough. Do you know the year he did that? I wonder if I was if I was actively watching.
I don't have the year.
I'm sure. Troy Aikman, mid-90s. I probably was watching.
Yeah.
Right? That's a tough one. I don't see that happening.
Okay, but do you guys see him as the passing yards leader of the day? You've got Cousins, Prescott, Goff, Mac Jones, and Daniel Jones also in here. Josh Allen, the favorite to be the passing yards leader at the very least.
Yeah, he has to be the favorite. We'll see how that.
I think so. UCL, either him or Prescott.
Yeah.
Is that what he heard? Is UCL, mm-hmm. Josh Allen? So yep. We'll see how that UCL is doing. But yeah.
Guys, I just looked because I was like, 455 is a lot of yards. I wonder kind of what the record is. Apparently, Los Angeles Rams great Norm Van Brocklin, 554 yards in the 1951 season opener.
I could have told you that. I remember that game like it was yesterday.
554 yards?
I know.
That's nuts.
Last one here before I jump to headlines. I don't think either of you are going to disagree with this, but interested to see if you can make your case. Saquon Barkley, the favorite for being the rushing yards leader, with Dalvin Cook as a close second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy. Saquon's having a great year. It's fun to watch Saquon, man, because, you know, he had a couple of tough years with an ACL, then an ankle or whatnot. So he got the G-man rolling right now. But, yeah, it's got to be Saquon, man. Got to be. What's the record? Do we know it?
For rushing yards on Thanksgiving?
273.
Oh, let me see if it was up here.
OJ.
Yeah. So here's the records we've got. Rushing yards, OJ Simpson, 273. Passing touchdowns is Peyton Manning with 6. You've got most sacks is Cam. Is this Cam Jordan? 4? No, that can't be. But it's 4 is the most sacks. Also the record for most receiving touchdowns. So, I mean, some of these are like, they're pretty impressive. I think that the most potentially surmountable is 188 receiving yards. I think potentially it could happen.
Yeah.
Not this Thanksgiving. But if ever there was a record that was going to be
that's
broken.
The one.
Exactly. All right, let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
UW and head coach Kalen DeBoer have agreed to a contract extension through the 2028 season. Christian Capel reports DeBoer's new 2023 salary will be $4.2 million. That's a $1 million raise, increasing by $100,000 each year after.
The real headline? DeBoer secured the bag, but the Huskies kind of did too.
Yeah, I think DeBoer is probably one of the best hires in the country. Turning this program around, he is the winningest coach when it comes to first-year guys at the University of Washington. Not a easy thing to do. He's got this offense clicking. He brings a quarterback over who understands the assignment. The portal has been good to the Pac-12. You look at all the QBs in this league, but then you have to match that up with good coaching. Didn't know much about DeBoer when he came over. I was a little skeptical. What's this guy going to do? This is UW, the bright lights, but got these guys to 9-2 in a possible Rose Bowl berth. Some things got to happen for them, but they're right in the mix, man. UW, congrats. You got a good one.
All right, next up.
Headline rewrites.
Pete Carroll was asked yesterday if he would consider easing up on the rookies down the stretch due to the physical toll of their first NFL season. His answer? No, not really.
Real headline. Pete Carroll with the answer all of us want to give when asked if we want to share what we're thankful for tomorrow.
Exactly.
That's exactly what it is.
That is what it is. I mean,
no, not really.
Nah, I prefer
to. Does anyone want
to
share what they're grateful for before we eat? No.
Hey, the worst is my mother-in-law. I love her to death. She will ask the same question and just stare at me. Just like, anyone want to ask, like, you have to do this if no one else wants to do it. So I'm getting my speech ready for tomorrow.
For what you're thankful for?
Yeah, what I'm thankful for. I'm just gonna say all the names at the table. Boom, 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 boom. Everybody good? Everybody good. But you're not supposed to ease up. This is the National Football League. Yes, you are hitting a rookie wall. Your body's like, what are we doing? Why are we still playing football? But you get paid good amount of money to go out there and do your thing. And I think these guys can handle it. I mean, they're healthy for the most part. They're still flying around, having fun. The energy that I saw at the practice in Germany was impressive because I'm like, this is like game 9-10 for y'all. Like, you know, mentally you hit a spot to where it's not all fun and games anymore. Your body's all banged up. But these guys have done a great job of staying locked in. So why ease up?
Ooh, before I throw the next headline, I want to give you guys some extra minutes. We're going to do Bold Take Wednesday since this is the last day we're going to be with y'all. So get those in, 866-979-3776. That's coming up at 10:30, but I want to give you a couple extra minutes. All right, what's next?
Headline rewrites.
Jets players were informed during a team meeting this morning that Zach Wilson is not starting Sunday's game versus the Chicago Bears. Head coach Robert Saleh says Zach Wilson's initial reaction was what you would expect from a player that wants to be out there. why now? Why me? I want to play.
To be fair, it's the same question I ask myself when I turn 30. Why now? Why me? Why me?
Why?
Why?
This is the move. Sala had to do this. We have a young man who didn't handle a situation the right way. Mm-hmm. Granted, I hope he learned from it. He'll go back and maybe be in the same situation later in his career, and he'll take all the bullets because that's what you're supposed to do. There's no way that Salah could start this young man to lead other grown men after he's not taking accountability for what he's done. At this point of his career, especially, you've done nothing in this league. Absolutely nothing. You might have all the talent in the world, but you still got to win ball games and be productive. He has not done it. So for him to not just own it, yeah, you lose the team. And guys don't play hard for guys they don't believe in, who they don't feel like is in the trenches with them and pulls their weight. So good move, man. Had to do it.
I know Zach Wilson's only in his second season, but he's got a career completion percentage of 55.6%.
Is that good?
What I'm saying is, like, adding to your point of what has he done, you haven't even been, like, serviceable. Yeah. Like, you haven't even been Kirk Cousins, who's actually pretty accurate. Like, he gets knocked all the time for not being a true franchise guy. But, like, Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill, all these guys who people say, Jimmy G, all these guys who people say, like, but is he the answer? All of them are better than Zach Wilson right now and have a track record of being better than Zach Wilson.
And all of them would have said, yes, the offense didn't do enough.
Yes.
We let our defense down.
Yes.
All of them would have said that.
What,
3 yards in the second half?
I would know to say that. I've never played football a day in my life. Like, if you've played team sports at all, ever, or sports at all, ever, or worked in an office, you just know that there are, like, social cues you should pick up on, and one of them is taking accountability, understanding when other people are upset because you didn't do enough or you did something. To not see that, not just as an athlete, to not see it just as a person, you're really missing some obvious cues here, and that doesn't make for a great leader.
He's weakening at Bernie's right now.
That's what it is. All right, Bold Take Wednesday is coming your way next, and we need your boldest takes. We're going to mix it in for a preview, and here's what we're going to do. Because it's Apple Cup as well, we're going to go, you can go Apple Cup, or you can go Seahawks Raiders, or you can go both, whatever you want to do. Bold Take Wednesday, your boldest takes. The boldest will be read on air, and then we'll discuss them as part of our preview. 866-979-3776. Bold Take Wednesday coming your way next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union. It's time for Bold Take Friday.
Day because we have a Thanksgiving break, and so we are previewing both games now, Apple Cup and Seahawks Raiders. Get your boldest takes in, 866-979-3776. Maura Dooley on the board for Curtis Rogers, and Maura, you have horn duties today, so if someone says a bold take that you really like or you think is super bold and, you know, you're very impressed by it, then you go ahead and hit the horn.
Okay.
And
Curtis's notes said use it liberally.
That checks out. That
okay.
That checks out. Get your bold takes in now. Text them 866-979-3776. Let's get started with this one. Bold take Wednesday. Geno bounces back from the Bucs game to throw for over 300 yards at more than 70% completion with 4 touchdowns. The Hawks win by 20.
Not very bold. You know why?
Why? I know Maura didn't play the horn either.
Because
I think that's really bold. Maura, don't give him a pity horn.
It's a pity horn. It's not bold. The 4 touchdowns is bold.
Okay.
Over 300, is that what he said?
Yeah.
That's not bold. Geno can do that. He's done that 2 times.
4 already. Touchdowns?
I said the 4 touchdowns is bold. But bouncing back too, he had an okay game against the Bucks. He didn't play bad.
Yeah.
275, 2 touchdowns. He did have that fumble.
Well, so the issue against the Bucks was the defense.
Yeah.
Not Geno.
I mean, I guess it's bold with the 4 touchdowns, but, like, bounce back? I think Geno's good, man.
All right. Bold take.
DK Metcalf game, 10 catches, 150 yards, 3 touchdowns. Ooh. Maura likes that one. Maura thinks that one's very bold. What do you think, Bump?
I need some of that. I want some of that. We ain't had any of that.
No, you know DK, where you been?
Come on, DK. It's not his fault. You know, DK has contributed. But, yeah, it'd be nice for him to have a big game against probably the best receiver in the game and be like, look, thank you for making the receiver market what it is. Devonte helped DK get paid, but then show him my look. I am the future. I am the present. Let's go.
Bold take from Seth in Fresno. Stacy will try and like hot fruit. That's why I don't eat pie.
She's committed.
I promise that it would happen if we did an apple cup bet.
I'm going to bring it in.
Well, we can bring it in either way.
Yeah.
But
I'm bringing ice cream, too.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Either way, we win.
Yeah.
Bold take, 787 texting this one in. The Seahawks will light up the Raiders with a 7-touchdown 50-burger. 2 rushing touchdowns by K9, 4 passing touchdowns by Geno, 2 to Lockett, 1 to DK, 1 to Colby, 1 pick 6 by Reek the Freak, and then a field goal by Myers to round it up to 50.
That's very bold.
So he did
very
the math?
Specific.
Does all that work out? Did he do the math?
I don't know. I'm not doing the math for you.
50 burger. We don't really see 50 burgers NFL.
No.
We saw 40-3 last week.
I was listening to a podcast that was talking about how, you know, the Raiders have lost so many one-score games. And I'm like, man, everyone loses or wins one-score games right now in this league.
Yeah, tough league.
Let's see. I got a couple ones about Devonte Adams. I'm going to read them in reverse bold order. From the 253, Seahawks secondary will hold Adams to less than 100 yards. Okay, I got another bold take. Bold take, Woolen will hold Adams to 0 touchdowns in less than 40 yards. The boldest of the three. Bold take. Devonte Adams catches 0 balls for 0 yards.
It's just, not likely.
It's not going to happen. But
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he has probably at least 30 consecutive games with a catch. Because that's what the great ones do.
Yeah.
Holding him under 100 yards, I think that's doable. I think if you hold him under 100 and maybe a touchdown, you're in this game.
Yep.
And then what was the other one? I missed one.
There was one of 40 yards.
40 yards.
And the other one was under 100, under 40, and 0. You're saying the second one feels most realistic, where it's like, if you can hold him to like 60 yards for Adams would be one of his worst games this season, outside of the one where he had like 3 yards because he was sick or whatever else was happening. Let's see. Bold take. I got a pick 6 on here. The 360 names. Puna Ford.
With a pick six.
Let's go.
I like that.
Maura likes it, too.
So what you're telling me is that the Raiders are going to be backed up inside their own 10. Tip ball. Puna gets it. Scoop and score.
No, I think it's 80 yards, man.
80 yards.
I think it's a red zone pickoff of Derek Carr run all the way back.
If Puna goes 80 yards, everyone on that Raiders defense needs to be cut immediately.
God, can you
imagine? Someone texting complaining about the horn.
Receivers try to chase him down and they can't. Just shameful.
Oh, my gosh.
Someone said, please stop with the horn. No, absolutely not. That's why, Kurt, every time you guys complain, Curtis, who is a tyrant, will write play it liberally. From Rob in American Samoa, Hawks and Dogs both win by double digits.
Yeah, right.
I love that. I love that bold take. I don't even think it's a bold take.
You don't think it's bold,
I don't even think it's a bold take. I think it's to be expected.
The Dogs going up against the number one scoring defense in the pack, only allowing 18 points per game. It ain't going to happen.
No. No bold take. Just sup, bump, sup, stay, sup, more. What's up, 253?
What up, dog?
From the 425, bump, you're not going to like this one either.
What's this?
The Huskies, bold take from the 425. The Huskies punt once. Cougs turn it over 3 times. Huskies win big 64-17.
Come on. You sound like a fifth grader who just doesn't like the Cougs. 64-17.
You never know what can happen, Bump. You never know what can happen.
I know we smacked them last year. Was it 40-something?
I don't want to talk about last year. It's not canon. Someone had a bold take. Michael Penix will throw for 4 touchdowns. One of them will be a pick 6.
I can see that. I can see that.
I really could, and I don't like it. Bold take. How about this one? Cougs win their second Apple Cup, the second of an eventful 7-game winning streak through 2027. You like the Cougs odds? We're going to do a big Apple Cup preview coming up here.
Yeah.
So we have some stuff here, but we'll get to lots of Apple Cup stuff.
bold take. USA 3, England 0, 1776, baby.
Let's go. What's that, Friday, right? U.S. plays England on Friday. I'm with that.
I don't even know if that's a bold take. We'll go with it.
Okay. I don't buy this one, but I appreciate the use of it. 206, Seahawks with the shutty. 21-0.
Shutty.
I think the Raiders' offense is too good. I think the Raiders' biggest problem has been that their offensive line gets banged up, that they keep losing weapons on offense, and that they can't keep teams from scoring on them.
The Saints did shut them out this season.
True. 24-0, something like that. I mean, they really shut them out.
But I think they've been playing better since then.
Anything is possible.
I don't know. I can't look at an offense that has Devontae Adams with 10 touchdowns and be like,
no, that's
nothing.
Tough.
You know?
That's tough.
Yeah. Stacey, you got to start reading some of the bold pro Coug texts. You guys got to send them in. Cougs, if you're listening, send me in a bold take. I'll keep an eye out for them. got to love me some stiff arm Derek Carr before he high steps into the end zone. That's it. No, don't say that. Don't say that.
What?
I can't believe that.
Who are you?
Gosh. Okay, here we go. We got one from a Coug. Bold take. Huskies throw 3 interceptions. Cougs win 38-24.
Now that's more realistic, you see.
What? No, it's not.
3 picks, 38-24.
No,
that's an apple cup type of score. Right?
Absolutely not. How about this one? We haven't even talked about the Raiders' rushing defense or the Raiders' defense against the run. Bold take from the 425. Ken Walker, K9, rushes for 200 plus. Ooh. Whew. Ooh-wee. 3 touchdowns. I don't know about that one. That would be probably a new Seahawks record. I know Rawls holds it for 2-0-something.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he's got 3 touchdowns.
That's hella bold. That'd be nice. I enjoy that. But that's bold. I don't know about that one. I give him a buck 30.
Oh, man. A couple people sending in that Michael Penix will have a horrible game. So we got a couple Cougs on here being like, nah, I'm seeing a Coug win. It's going to happen, but...
You know, it's going to be so cold. I bought my heated vest, my heated gloves, and heated socks for this game.
And because you did that, I went and bought a couple of those things for no reason, just to walk to my car and drive to work. The ending it with the 253 bold take. Seahawks make Derek Carr cry twice in 3 weeks.
Oh.
Ooh, I like it.
Don't attack a man for being vulnerable.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Okay, it's 2022. Men have feelings too.
However.
We can cry.
However.
Okay.
You can, but that seemed really extra performative.
A little bit.
It was dramatic. There was a lot of dramatic pauses.
All right, it's Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. We got back-to-back-to-back Apple Cup here. So Bump's going to do his final of 3 position previews. You're going to Kia Watson versus the Huskies defense coming up. And then we're going to have Drew Bledsoe joining us at 11 for Washington Wednesday. And then we have all Apple Cup 4-down territory. So Cougs, Huskies, don't go anywhere. We got you covered. It's all coming your way next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacey.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, we've been doing our Apple Cup preview every day this week at 10:45. We looked at the Huskies wide receivers versus the Cougs DBs. We looked at the Cougs box, the front 7 against the Huskies offensive line. And it continues today, Bump, with...
We staying in the trenches, but we're going Nakia Watson, the running back for WSU, versus that UW defense.
Okay.
Now, Nakia Watson is a transfer that we got from Wisconsin. When this kid plays, the WSU Cougars are 7-2. They've won their last 3 games. His return back to the field was August 11th versus Stanford. He rushed 16 times for 166 yards. The following week, he goes 20 for 116 and 3 touchdowns versus ASU. And then after that, against Arizona, his most recent game, he goes 15 carries for 56 yards, but also has 30 yards receiving and a touchdown. Nakia Watson is going to be key. This is a WSU football team that looks different than the past 10 years, simply because there's a tight end on the roster. Like the last few years, there hasn't been a tight end on the roster. They don't like to run the football. This is a different type of offense. And when they can run the football, that takes pressure off of their quarterback, Cam Ward, a young guy who's developing, who came from Incarnate Ward, a FCS school, and is maturing as a quarterback, and how do you allow him to play comfortable? You have to run that football. So then we go over to the other side of the ball, and we look at this Husky defense. They're top three in the league when it comes to sacks, so we know that they can get in the backfield. They got guys like Braylon Trice on that defensive line, Jeremiah Martin on that defensive line with 6.5 sacks. They are by committee, and when you look at their stats in general, the Husky offense has gotten a lot of love, which they should get a lot of love. But this Husky defense has been serviceable as well. Like I mentioned, they are top three in the pack when it comes to sacks. They are third in the league when it comes to yards allowed, third when it comes to sacks, and they are fourth when it comes to points allowed, only allowing 25.7. So each team, when you think of UW, you think of Michael Penix throwing the football all over the yard. When you think of WSU, I think most of us think of Cam Ward and the screen game. It's crazy, right? Run a bunch of screens. Mm-hmm. But you don't think of these teams and say, okay, they can run the football. But as of late, both these programs have been running the football. So that's what it's going to come down to. Nikhil Watson, can he be that north-south type of runner? There's a lot of guard-tackle pulls that we're going to see. We're going to see some traps. That's when you pin one guy down the line of scrimmage, you pull another guy. And then that's going to help with the RPOs as well. If the Cougs can get Nikhil Watson going, they got a chance to win this.
How important is just getting the run going? We know, just working in football, how often we've heard head coaches be like, the run's important, the run's important. People overlook the run, but it's so important. How important is it specifically for the Cougs offense, though, and why?
It's important because the Cougs, they're no longer this this really explosive offense where you're going to have these 30, 40-yard plays down the field like we're used to seeing. They're going to have to go 10 to 12 plays to score touchdowns. And that all starts with the run. The run establishes the tempo, and it gets you out to a good start on first down. And when you can get the run going, then your RPO start to work, your run-pass options. That's when you get linebackers to start biting, and lanes are a lot more clear for Cam Ward to see and make the throws. And I think that's where he's best is in the RPO game when he has several options. So, yeah, I look at this run game and I say, all right, man. Now, I'm not saying a buck 66 like Nikhil did against the Stanford Cardinal, but over 100 yards would be great. And you have to be stubborn with it, just like we asked the Seattle Seahawks to be stubborn with the run and to just show a defense over and over again. I think that's what they have to do. Now, if you get down, you have to start throwing the football. That's where it gets tough for Washington State. You cannot get down 2 to 3 scores to this explosive UW team.
Well, and I'm kind of looking on the other end since I tend to be a bit of a worry wart. The 360 saying, sorry, Bump, but the Cougs aren't going to win no matter who plays. This is a different Husky team than last year. The offense is night and day doesn't do it justice. Mm-hmm. The offense is genuinely better in pretty much every single facet than it was last year, and last year it was abysmal. The defense graduated some guys. They're just not quite as stout as they were last year or even the year prior. Mm-hmm. I know that the Cougs' offense has struggled, that Ward has struggled at times, but I am worried about that kind of offensive-defensive matchup, that the Cougs are better defensively, and that the Huskies have struggled at times defensively. I flash back to some of their worst losses, and I think of, was it UCLA or I'm thinking of, or Cal?
UW.
UCLA, right? Like, I think back to these moments where they just couldn't stop anything and think like, you know, look, there's still some weaknesses there to exploit.
Yeah, I mean, every team has its weaknesses, right? I'm not just sitting here bashing on UW. If you guys listen throughout the week, I've given UW the proper respect and love that they deserve. And the thing about these rivalry games is that you never really know. I remember a few years ago, the game was in Pullman. It's snowing, and we're all thinking, boom, we got them. These west side of the mountain dudes ain't used to practicing and playing in this snow, and the elements are going to get them. Then they come out and they run the football like this is what they do. Yep. I believe Gaston was still on that team there. So, I mean, this is a rivalry, man. It's the Apple Cup. It's all about who shows up, who takes care of the football, who runs the football, and who tackles. It comes down to fundamental football, man, because when emotions are high, when there's a lot at stake, UW is playing for a Rose Bowl berth, hopefully. WSU is playing just for bowl placement and for pride and to keep the cup at home. But it's about the team who plays more discipline. So, yeah, I'm looking at Nikhil Watson, this run game versus the box, but then you also have to look at the transfer quarterbacks. Brock Huber made a great point yesterday when I spoke to him on the Brock and Sock show. He goes, you know, Bum, what makes Abaco special? And I'm like, it's the passion, it's the emotion. Mm-hmm. I didn't really understand it until after my first Apple Cup, and I got it. I go, dang, like, people really care about this. He goes, yeah, the passion. Is it funny that the people who will have the ball in their hands the most don't really know what this game is about? And Cam Ward and Michael Penix, because they're both transfers. I go, that's a great point. If they don't know, they're going to have an idea, but maybe at halftime or some at some point in the game, they're going to look around and they're going to feel what's going on and be like, all right, this is a bit different. Yes, Wazoo went to Wisconsin, had a big win there, super emotional. Yes, UW played Michigan State at home, big win, super emotional. There's nothing like this Apple Cup. So I'm going to be watching the two quarterbacks and being like, all right, how do these new guys kind of fit into this game?
I'm now fascinated to hear them in the postgame press or whatever the outcome to hear if particularly the quarterback on the winning team is like, yeah, I finally felt that. All right, we are bringing on Drew Bledsoe for Washington Wednesday. Our Apple Cup preview continues next.